Military Mondays with David Katz.
Major David Katz, a very, very good morning. How is lockdown treating you?
Morning, Howard. How are you doing?
Are you still showing off? You've written 430,000 words of your new book.
Well, listen, I'm on chapter number 5. I can't complain. I have been productive. I'm just carrying on. Despite the fact that, I mean, as you say, it's Monday morning. There's a bit more gloom. I'm feeling it the same way as you are.
Oh, you're also feeling it. Okay, so that's interesting. Why are you laughing, Zanati?
No.
Because David's been very upbeat about this.
He really has.
He's been upbeat. And he's productive. Been supportive. He's been productive. He's used the time well.
But that's
the sense that I'm getting. And well, I know where my discomfort comes from. And in fact, I've just tweeted about these 23 doctors. And I want to know, if 23 of the Cuban doctors had arrived in South Africa with COVID, why is it only one or two obscure Afrikaans papers that are reporting it? We need...
But is it even true? I mean, I see the SANDF came out 2 days ago and denied it. Is it true? I mean,
is it an established fact? Well, we don't know. But it's... You know, are we confident about any, you know, the denials or not the denials?
Howard, I agree with you. I feel government has to be accountable, and I think that's the job of the free press to go and investigate all these things. But I don't feel government has to come out and deny every single conspiracy theory out there. I mean, is it the job of government to go actually go and do that? I'm in agreement with Zanati. You know, if we didn't have the cigarette issue, it would be another issue, because I've seen the way things go in this country is that there are quite a lot of complainers out there. And I mean, if they are looking for something to complain about. And I think we've reached a stage now. This is the end of the beginning.
You can't wash everybody with that. I'm not a complainer.
I'm not washing everybody with that.
So I'm saying, really not. I have been tremendously supportive of the way. I felt so proud of how our government.
What's changed your mind?
What's changed my mind is I believe that that something is going on behind the scenes that we don't know. I think they are obscuring information from us, and they are behaving irrationally. And all of those things makes me very, very nervous. Why have we not heard from Cyril Ramaphosa in more than nearly 2 weeks now, or 3 weeks? The country's on lockdown.
I don't believe it. It's been that long. But, I mean, agreement with the lockdown measures? I certainly am. Otherwise, you're going to have the Bolsonaro effect.
We could go that way also,
where we can just fling everything open and go for it and have 10,000 cases per day and we don't know where we're going to go with
that. I'm not suggesting that at all.
I'm in agreement with the lockdown. I'm in agreement with the lockdown measures. I'm also in agreement with lifting certain restrictions as we go along and having a look how things go. So I'm still confident about that. I'm still behind the government and the measures that they've put in. And a lot of people out there are not. They want this place flung open. And, you know, either lives count, Howard, or they don't count. I mean, it's as simple as that. I don't think we can have a middle ground on this.
I think you can have a middle ground. Because the middle ground says that there are ways that once, you know, you've got to look at why a lockdown occurs and why we even have a lockdown. You have a lockdown in order to flatten the curve because we needed to give our system, the medical system, government, etc., the time to start dealing with things that you didn't have everybody completely overwhelmed.
I'm in agreement with you. 100%.
It's unrealistic to think that we are going to eradicate COVID-19 in South Africa through a lockdown.
No, that's not the reason for the lockdown.
You're
100% right. It's to flatten the curve. It's to buy us some time at the end of the day. It's to bring things under control. But where we've seen that it's been lifted, even in Germany, where the measures have been lifted and people have gone back to work, I mean, there's just been South Korea is another one where there's a whole resurgence of this thing. So there needs to be a measured approach to this whole thing. And I don't think the government's approach here in South Africa is wrong. It was a very, very stringent lockdown. Everybody was happy with that to start off with. It's now the messy middle, because what's happened is the end of the beginning has happened. We're going into winter now. We're going into unknown territory, and people are frustrated. Jobs have been lost. There's financial constraints. So people are starting to complain. I mean, I understand that at the end of the day, but that doesn't nullify what the government's done and the measures they've put in. I still believe they're valid.
So here we go. As we speak, Zanati, President Cyril Ramaphosa has written us a letter.
Oh, Oh, I think he's listening to the show.
Yeah, of course he is. Dear fellow South Africans, he'd be stupid not to. Dear fellow South, because this is where you'll have real conversations that is not defined by any agenda other than just having a real conversation. Dear fellow South Africans, since the beginning of May, when we began the gradual easing of the nationwide coronavirus lockdown, many people have started returning to work. As part of the phased recovery of the economic, companies in certain specified industries have been able to resume a part of their operations. The national coronavirus alert level is now 4, which means that extreme precautions remain in place to limit community transmission. Our goal is to steadily reduce the alert level by keeping the rate of infection down and getting our health system ready for the inevitable increase. As the lockdown is gradually eased, life will slowly return, but it will not be life as we knew it before. While there is still much about the pandemic that is unknown, experts now agree that the virus will remain a threat to global public health for some time. We must therefore be prepared to continue to live with the coronavirus amongst us for a year or even more. If you're saying no alcohol for a year, it's enough. We must be prepared for a new reality to fight COVID-19, and so that it becomes part of our daily existence. Our success in overcoming the coronavirus will ultimately be determined by the changes we make in our behavior. Even after lockdown, especially after lockdown, we will still need to observe social distancing, wear face masks, wash hands regularly, and avoid contact with other people. We will need to reorganize workplaces, schools, universities, colleges, and other public places in order to limit transmission. We will need to adapt new ways of worshiping, socializing, exercising, and meeting that minimize opportunities for the virus to spread. This is the reality of countries across the world are having to confront. Even those countries that have started easing their lockdown restrictions are doing it tentatively with extreme caution. Mm. Like we have done, many countries are implementing extensive stimulus packages to strengthen their respective healthcare sectors, supporting ailing industries and workers, and provide relief to vulnerable households. Like us, they have had to heed calls for economic activities to resume. Like our citizens, their populations are restive and frustrated with the curtailment of personal freedoms. At the same time, health experts around the global warning of a second wave of infections as public life resumes. A number of countries, including Germany, Iran, and China, have seen a rise in new infections since they relaxed their restrictions. We will be no different. We can and must expect infections to rise as people return to work, and we must be ready for it. The next phase of our national response is as much about the continuity as it about change or innovation. We will step up our intensive screening, testing, and case management program. We will introduce new measures to make contact tracing more effective. We will need to implement more mass sanitization of workplaces, public transport, and other places. Since the nationwide lockdown began, most South Africans have observed the regulations that are in place that are there for their own safety. As the restrictions in economic daily activity are eased, it is vital. Okay, he's saying the same thing over and over and over and over. And I'm not even joking. I'm reading ahead. I've now skipped about 4 or 5 paragraphs. Imposing the nationwide lockdown gave our country strategic advantage. Yes, I think he said that. Slowed the transmission. He said that. The transition of the next phase, that recovery will be more difficult. Yes, that is why easing of the lockdown restrictions must be not result in careless behavior, etc., etc. The coronavirus crisis will pass, but as long as it remains a threat to lives of our people, we must remain vigilant, diligent, and responsible. Now than more than ever, it is upon the conduct of each that depends on the fate of us all. Best wishes. What did he say?
I don't know. I think it's quite a well-considered measured approach.
Except that he just repeats it about, oh, I'm not even joking.
I think he's basically saying that he can sense our frustrations, but we need to understand at the core of it why we have all these restrictions. I think that's what basically the letter says.
But it also acknowledges that there is going to be an easing of restrictions, obviously.
And yes, and it certainly sounds like we're getting ready for level 3.
And the death rate. Mm. He's acknowledging that also.
Mm. My thing,
but it's certainly a better response than I've heard from many leaders of the world, and I keep on saying the Bolsonaros of the world also, who just fling everything open. I mean, and make wild statements. I mean, this is pretty measured. It's a reasonable approach to the problem.
My main concern is the danger of us aggregating everything. So because, for example, you know, that we can't buy cigarettes, because we can't buy alcohol, because we can't exercise for the whole day. Just those little things, there's a danger in us aggregating that and just basically saying that the lockdown is ridiculous or that government does not have a handle on it just because we have issues with certain things.
Yes, you're right about this. I'm not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater, proverbially.
Yeah.
But I am saying that we need to be confident that government is behaving rationally. And my worry is that that a lot of the things are irrational. Ivy says, morning team, it seems a bit stupid that if your washing machine breaks down, you can't get a new one delivered.
Well, that took the wind out of my sails. I mean, I would have thought that you could get a new one delivered.
I don't know if you can or if you can't, but I know that the whole e-commerce thing didn't make sense. It really didn't, because if e-commerce was working properly and functioning well in South Africa, you have less reason to even go to the shops. So that really didn't it really didn't make sense. Michael M says the police are making up offences under the regulations, offences that do not exist, and people are paying fines for committing non-existent offences. Michael is a lawyer.
I don't know. I mean, that to me makes absolutely no sense. I saw that little clip, by the way, of some guy rowing on a bench in Cape Town, and three policemen approached him and asked him what he's doing. And I mean, his attitude was just wrong. You know, other people see different things. They see the attitude of the police, but I just saw his belligerent attitude. And then the guy videoing it was also, I mean, they said to him, "Where are your papers?" He says, "Hold on a moment. Let me first finish videoing, then I'll give you the papers." I mean, what respect for the law is that at the end of the day? Also,
yeah,
you know?
I agree. I agree. You know, you can't be deliberately obtuse and combative, because at the same time, the police are really trying, and the army is trying, and everybody is just trying to do the right thing. The problem is that we now have a confrontational environment because people aren't on the same. You know, I know that I wanted to see the army in our area at the beginning of lockdown, just because I wanted to thank them. You know, so that was my kind of approach, is I felt very positive and proud and supportive of it. Now, I don't know. I'm just not sure. And maybe a full lockdown at the beginning is much easier and much less complicated than where we are now at level four, hoping to move to level three. What does that mean? Cases rising. So we are all confused, and we can't expect, we can't blame government for the fact that cases are increasing like this. They've certainly done whatever they can. So, to prevent it. So yes, maybe.
I think they've been very, very successful. If you take a look at where we are now compared to, let's say, Spain on the same type of day, I mean, our infection rates are a fraction of what these people in your first world countries in Europe experienced when they didn't lock down. So certainly, I mean, if you say to me, has the lockdown been successful from the point of view of flattening the curve? It has certainly been very, very successful. I mean, if we look backward. Going forward, I don't know what the game plan is going to be. Not everybody knows what the game plan is, but certainly I don't believe the government has put a foot wrong. There are certain areas where I say to you that it's a gray area with the e-commerce type thing being held back. I'm not 100% sure why that happens. I think their excuse is economic advantage, is that they don't want to give these companies.
But that's not a measure.
During
I think that is
lockdown,
absolutely unacceptable.
They don't want to give them in their total lockdown a total economic advantage.
I think that's wrong, though.
I don't buy that.
I don't think this is a time for equality and fairness. Nothing is fair. Michael from Gallowmanor, Michael at home in Gallowmanor, says washing machines are considered non-essential, so you can't get it replaced or a fridge for
a
that.
A washing machine is not essential.
Yeah, Zanati, you've just become the washing machine.
That person has never experienced the pain of hand washing. Wow.
So that's a concern. I mean, my one son can only sleep with a fan on for whatever reason. It's just his thing. His fan broke. So I can buy a heater for him, but I can't buy a fan.
That's crazy. Also, because we know with COVID-19 comes high temperature, which is, I mean, you'd think that a lot more people would need fans when they contract it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is anomalies. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, these things are very irritating, but I think it'll sort itself out. But we really are getting into the messy middle now. I think the frustrations are going to
increase. That is that. It is the messy middle. Mm. I think everybody's called Michael today. I'm not even joking. All coming in from different phone numbers, but everyone's called Michael. We must be more vigilant that this is not a convenient occasion for further national democratic revolution. That is from Michael. And another Michael, different number, says the guy bench rowing in Muizenberg was part of this whole surfer protest, but it was during the exercise time frame. Clive says, what happens if your clothes have coronavirus? You can't wash it. Just put them in the sun.
I can't buy that.
No, that surfer protest also as well.
I mean, these people have got no idea, I mean, of the seriousness of the situation. I mean, to be flippant and go and do a surfer protest, I mean, who cares?
No, it was worse than that, David. They weren't being flippant. They were being serious. They were not being flippant. That's worse. I actually would have been happy if they were flippant. You know, we had Coconut Kells on our show on Friday, and she was saying, "Why this is exactly like apartheid."
I mean, you know what? I've heard guys talk about. It's a restaurateur in Norwood. Of course, I won't mention names. Of course, I won't. But a restaurateur in Norwood compares this to a Nazi state. I mean, first of all, what does he know about a Nazi state? He says, I'm really considering leaving here. I will not live under this Nazi jackboot anymore. I mean, honestly, that's just a position of absolute ignorance.
This is my thing. We all have things that irritate us. I have lots of things that irritate me that I'm just like, I'm 5 to calling this an apartheid.
I love that expression. But she's 5 to calling this an apartheid situation.
But imagine if we all literally with those small irritations all gathered and protested. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, like, all people that want to buy fans, we protest.
Exactly.
M says no need to take the restrictions personally. I think that is a good point. So Mike Lubo says
personal.
I have a fan for you. Thanks, Mike. It is. I mean, we discussed this on Friday that people around the world are also saying in America it's like being Anne Frank. No, lockdown is not like Anne Frank.
No,
it is not the Holocaust. It is not a Nazi regime. And it is not apartheid.
I feel like Winnie Mandela right now.
Time is 5 to 9. Major David Katz, I think we discussed everything but things military. This is unfortunately where we do have to leave it. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation either way. Thanks for your time and thanks for your perspective.
My pleasure.
Because I think that is so, so important.